Chinese character for necessary is made up of the words one, man, enclosure, and woman. So, sisters, I want to tell you this evening. Do not let anyone tell you that you are not necessary. Do not let anyone tell you that. God made you extra special, because while us men are wonderful in a lot of ways, we need help. And the Bible confirms this. I've already gotten a lot of jokes about the title of tonight's lesson, called Ancient Chinese Secret. And so before we begin, I'm going to just go ahead and kind of tell y'all what the secret is, then we'll explain it a little bit more in detail. So there you go, there's the Ancient Chinese Secret. And for those of you who that reference flew right over your head, there was an old commercial in the late 70s where there was a guy who worked at a laundromat, and he was a Chinese man, and he told all of his customers that there was an ancient Chinese secret that is how the laundry got so clean. And then his wife comes in and ruins the secret and tells him, no, it's not an ancient Chinese secret, they're just using this Calgon powder stuff. But the real ancient Chinese secret, I think, is actually going to be a lot more fascinating. I know that Neil was worried when he heard the title of the lesson. He said he was worried that I wasn't going to be doing enough Bible tonight. As you can see on your outlines before you, there's going to be about 21 Bible references, so I hope that's enough for Neil's satisfaction. And he was also worried what Bible translation I was going to be using. So I'm going to be using the old and reliable New American Standard Bible. Now, the world is actually way bigger than we need. I don't know if y'all knew this, but let's say every single person on earth moved to the country of South Africa. Every person on earth. Did you know that we would still have more room to ourselves there than the people who currently live in Tokyo do right now in Japan? Now, I found that fascinating. So, it's not that the world doesn't have enough room for everyone. So, that being said, is there anything wrong in staying in your hometown or your home country? Of course, there's nothing wrong with it, but that being said, when would the only time it would be wrong to do so? So, Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, God gives this command to Adam and Eve and to mankind in general. He tells them to be fruitful and multiply, to fill the earth and subdue it. Now let's flash forward to Genesis 11. And the Bible says that everyone on earth had gathered in this place called the Plain of Sinar, and it would later be renamed as Babylon, and we're about to see why in a second. So they thought that if they built a tower that reached all the way up into heaven, that they would make a name for themselves, and then God wouldn't scatter them all over the world. So what I've always found humorous about this story is that they thought they were going to build this tower all the way up to heaven, and yet the story describes God as coming down to talk to them. So clearly they didn't make it, because God had to come down and talk to them. And as we can see in the story, what God did is he confused their speech. He confused the language of the whole earth, and he scattered them abroad all over the face of the earth. So, we don't know for sure when this story took place in history, but a lot of biblical scholars believe that this story took place around 2500 BC. And something that I find very fascinating is that also in the year 2500 BC is when the Chinese language was first written down. And then there's a little bit of a gap, flash forward 1,000 years, to when the first five books of the Bible was written. So all of Genesis was written, as you can see, centuries and even thousands of years after the events took place. Now, that being said, if the Chinese language was written around the time the Tower of Babel took place, then wouldn't there be any evidence that this story took place? Now, this could be an entire class series in archaeology and the Bible, but one thing I'm going to go ahead and just share with y'all tonight is that almost any original manuscript of anything ever written, and you even see that in modern day, right? We have a whole lot of things called lost films. Most of the films from the silent era are gone. So even in recent time, a lot of our most recent documentation has been lost. But what's really unique about the Chinese language is that they're written in little words called characters. And so that is what remains as the traditional Chinese language. And so these characters are often comprised of smaller words that tell a word picture. So if the Chinese people did descend from the people of the Tower of Babel, then they, up to that point, must have shared a common culture and ancestry with the rest of the world. So did people know about the stories in Genesis before it was written down? And did the entire world actually witness God coming down during the Tower of Babel? Is Genesis fact or is it fiction? It is my hope that this lesson will strengthen your faith and help you feel more connected to the past, to the world, and most importantly, to God. So a little bit more notes here on this outline here. You can see Buddha was born in about 600 BC. Although what that little blue line up there represents is that Buddha was actually not deified, which means he was actually not worshipped as a god until about the first century BC, a little bit before Jesus was born. So around 600 is though when Buddha was born. And you can kind of see right there on that arrow, that's about around the time, a little bit after, when the Chinese stopped worshiping this god named Shang Di. The main reason for that is that Taoism and Confucianism began around the time that Buddha was alive. And give it a couple centuries, and the Chinese religion was replaced with philosophy more than religion. So I bet a lot of y'all are wondering, who in the world is Shang Di? I mean, it sounds Chinese, right? But what does it actually mean? So Shang Di literally translates to the Lord above. And the Hebrew people, as we know in the Bible, one of their names for God Almighty was El Shaddai. And then the word for Lord that appears in the Bible, a lot of times it appears in all caps. And it is either Yahweh or Jehovah. I kind of wrote the four letters over there in the middle for you to see like where those two different words come from. Since until it was resurrected recently during the 1950s, Hebrew was a dead language, so we don't know exactly how it's pronounced. Some scholars say Yahweh, and that seems to be the more modern thought, but some also say Jehovah as well. So we have Lord and God Almighty are two different references that God has called there in Genesis 17:1. So do you guys, who was here for my sermon, all right, for Christmas time? All right, if you guys remember from my sermon during Christmas time, I mentioned all of these different ancient peoples in the world. And if you remember, I did throw in the word Chinese there. And you guys were probably thinking, well, the Chinese aren't in the Bible. What's he talking about? Or maybe you were just so enthralled by my great sermon you didn't notice. But I was leading directly into this lesson because I knew I would be doing a Bible lesson after this. So really, that was not an accident. So what is unique about Chinese being an ancient language is that we can catch a glimpse into the world of 4,500 years ago, back to the year 2500 BC. And what we see from that time onward until around the second or third century, we see that the Chinese had a belief in one god named Shang Di. And so what we're going to be studying tonight is, did they believe in the same god that we did, or did they not? Obviously, this isn't something that we can prove hard and fast, but what I'm going to be doing tonight is I'm going to be presenting y'all the evidence. And then once you see the evidence, I will allow y'all to make up your minds what you believe about God, and whether he has been the God of all people for all time, or has he not. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." The Chinese express the idea of heaven being the place of the Great One. So you can see the two little characters that are made from it, and they believe that heaven was the place of the Great One, and that was a god whom they called Shang Di. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 2, this is a passage that we're all very familiar with as Christians. This talks about the first day of creation when God created the world. And if you notice down there in verse 2, it says that the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. One thing I want you to do on your outlines, I have little blanks down there for you guys to write your own notes as you want. So one thing that I want y'all to add there is Genesis chapter 1, verse 6. And I'm going to be quoting from the King James on this one. But in Genesis 1, 6, God says, "Let there be a firmament to divide the waters." And so we're going to see just how those relate here in a second. One thing that, a little side note real quick, one thing that you're going to be seeing a lot of over and over and over again on the slide, you're going to see the word translated as mouth. And so I know in English that's a little bit of a weird way to word things, but it's not too uncommon in English. We have a lot of idioms that we use that word for. We say there's a lot of mouths to feed, or we say there's the mouth of the cave. So usually when the word mouth is here, it's referring to a person, but sometimes it can refer to an enclosure or it can refer to an opening as well. One thing that I found very unique about the symbol for spirit is that the word for mouth was listed 3 times. For Christians, that has a very big significance because I believe, and I know most of y'all in here believe as well, that there is one God who is in 3 persons. And so I believe that the Chinese word right here is leading up to that. And so the reason why I mentioned Genesis 1:6 is that we know that God spoke the waters into the existent. We know that the Spirit was hovering over the surface. And so for that word that I translated there as worker of magic, that is the literal translation. I know in English, when we're talking about the Bible, a lot of times what we do is we'll use the word magic for stuff that's fake, and then we'll use the word supernatural or miraculous for stuff that describes God. In the Chinese language, the word is the exact same. They don't have a different word to differentiate the two like we do. So do not let that distract you too much from the lesson this evening. Another verse that I want you guys to write down on that blank there is that in John chapter 4, verse 24, Jesus says that God is a spirit. And so I mention that to say that the Spirit can sometimes refer just to the Holy Spirit, but at this point during history, the Father, the Holy Spirit, and the Son himself would have been a spirit because Jesus had not came and was not born of flesh yet. So in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, we have the creation of man, another passage that we're all quite familiar with. So the Chinese word for create means to speak life into dust to where it walks. And we know that God spoke things into existence. In Genesis, it really illustrates it beautifully by saying breathe, because that's the same word that the Hebrew uses for spirit. So the idea that God gave Adam a spirit and made him very special. So I think that this phrase, it's very odd that they chose the word dust or mud if it was not referring to Genesis, in my opinion. And then now let's move on. So after God has created man, he planted a garden towards the east in Eden, and he placed the man in the garden. So the first man, Adam, lived in the garden. And so we can see that the word for first is a living dust man, which is exactly what Adam was. And I really love this illustration of happiness here. The Chinese character for happiness is represented by God plus one mouth in the garden. And I'm sure that Adam was very happy at this point. Imagine how much fun it would be for God to bring you all of the animals that he's created, and he parades them around and even lets you name them. As much fun as zoos are for us in modern day, none of them can even hold a candle to how amazing this event would have been. And so I'm sure that Adam had a lot of fun with God in the garden. And as much as God loved Adam and he loved all of his creation and saw that it was good, we can see in this verse here that God knew what was best for Adam, even though he was probably quite happy, but he knew what was best for Adam, and he knew that God needed a special helper, a helper that was necessary for him. The Chinese character for necessary is made up of the words one, man, enclosure, and woman. So, sisters, I want to tell you this evening. Do not let anyone tell you that you are not necessary. Do not let anyone tell you that. God made you extra special, because while us men are wonderful in a lot of ways, we need help. And the Bible confirms this. And so do the Chinese characters. So next in our story in Genesis 2, we have the creation of woman. So God causes Adam to fall into a deep sleep. He takes one of his ribs and he fashions a woman from it. So the word for first is made up of the words two. Sorry about that. The word for first is made up of the words two people. And when you add the word first and home together, it means complete. Eve completed Adam. And now they had each other as mates, like all the other animals in creation. And as a little side note, you probably noticed earlier the symbol for person up there said man earlier. Sometimes it can mean person, sometimes it can mean man. It just depends on the context. Much like how Adelphoi in the Greek can mean brothers, or it can mean brothers and sisters, referring to the whole congregation. Just depends. And this is known as brethren in older translations. Now, Jesus illustrates here that in the beginning, there were two people, male and female. Now, isn't that interesting? The beginning was two people, male and female. And when Jesus was asked about marriage, he went back to the beginning. And we can see that the Chinese also spoke of the beginning as two people. And next, God gave Adam and Eve this command. He said that you can eat from any tree in the garden. I'm sure there was a lot, and I'm sure it was great food directly created from God. But the only one that they could not eat from is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And because God warned them that the day you eat from it, you will surely die. The Chinese word for warn is two trees and God. The one tree symbolizes the food they could eat. The other tree symbolizes the food that they could not eat. And so without the story of Genesis, again, this is, and I think you guys are going to start to be seeing a pattern here tonight. These characters, without this story being a real historical story, is not going to make a lot of sense without the Bible stories being true. And so next in the story, we come to the serpent in the garden. Now we know, and this is a reference you can write down here, but we know from Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, that the devil is the serpent of old. So that's one thing that we do know from that. But what we can actually see here is that the Chinese character for the devil, the Chinese seem to have already known that the serpent in the garden was the devil. Because the words for devil are made up of a secret life that someone could have in the garden. So the devil lied and told Eve about a secret life where she could be like God and not surely die. The story goes on further here, and the serpent said the reason why you will not surely die is because God knows the day you eat from it, you'll be open and you'll be like God, knowing good from evil. So the serpent was really trying to tempt Eve here. So the word for tempter, and that's a phrase that we often call the devil, but the word for tempter here is Satan under the cover of trees. And how interesting is it that that's the word for temper in Chinese? So the woman saw the tree, and she saw that the food was good, and that it was a light to her eyes. And so the tree was desirable. She took the fruit and ate it, Then she gave it to Adam, and he ate it as well. The Chinese word for covet is two trees and a woman. So all I really have to say about this one is, if this is not the story of Genesis, I really don't understand what trees and women have to do with coveting things. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 says that when Adam and Eve heard the sound of God walking through the garden in the cool of the day, Adam and Eve hid themselves in the presence of the Lord among what? The trees of the garden. So the word for hide here is a body under several trees. So the word hide here is a body under several trees. And as we can see, the Chinese character once again paints the exact illustration that we see in Genesis. Then next, God gives a promise, or a promise that he gave as a punishment for their sin. God said, "I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain," sorry about that, "in pain you will bring forth children. Yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." Some things to notice here is that the word for pain and sorrow are people under two trees. Now, it would appear that this punishment that God gave was not part of the original plan, because otherwise it wouldn't have been a punishment for her sin. And so the character that you see right there for man is actually usually how it appears in Chinese, for those who are interested in those sort of things. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 7 through 19, we see that God told Adam, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree, but which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat from it,' then cursed is the ground that you work." And so what God goes on to tell Adam here is that Adam is no longer just going to be able to walk through the garden and pick up the food that he wants to eat. Adam is actually going to have to start farming like we do in modern day. There are some foods that grow out in the wild, but for the most part, if we want to make bread or something like that, it takes work. And so we can see here that the Chinese kind of says the same thing here for the word promise. God promises that for the rest of Adam's life, he will have to work the weeds and he will have to farm. And that is what the Chinese says here as well. And then God, this is God speaking to himself, he says, "Behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. And now he might stretch out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever." And so what God does is he casts Adam and Eve east of Eden, and he drives them out of the garden. Interesting enough, I've actually seen little kid pictures when they hear about this story in Sunday school. A lot of times they'll draw a little picture of God driving a car and driving Adam and Eve out of the garden. So that's that image is always in my head ever since I've seen kids draw that picture. And so notice is what God puts at the entrance of the garden. He puts an angel with a flaming sword to guard the tree of life. And what do we see here in the Chinese symbol for guard? We see an entrance and a tree and a man. How interesting that it seems like men are blocked from entering into the trees or into the garden. And next, we have the story going forward a little bit in the story of Genesis. We have Adam and Eve's sons, Cain and Abel. And we all know this story is that God accepted Abel's sacrifice. He didn't accept Cain's. And so Cain became jealous and he killed his brother. And so God asked Cain, "Where is your brother?" And of course, God already knew the answer to that, but he was really trying to give Cain a chance here to see if he would confess to it. But Cain didn't confess to it, we all know. And he said, "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And so then God says, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground." So what this implies here is that Cain tried to cover his tracks and to bury Abel. All right, so notice from the face of the ground is repeated here. All right, so the word for violent and cruel in the Chinese. And this is one, what I did as a side note for all of y'all here tonight is I went through each and every word here and I made double sure that each word was translated correctly. The original translator who translated this labeled the word hole in the ground as murder. But what I discovered when I went through a translator myself is that little half box with an X on it doesn't mean murder. It means hole in the ground plus man. And to me, that is an even more powerful illustration that validifies the point of this study. Is that the idea for and what an act of violence, the first murder. And it is represented there by a hole in the ground with a man in it, just as Cain did to his brother Abel. We're going to go forward in time again in the Genesis story on the next page there. And we're going to be doing Genesis chapter 6. This is the famous story of Noah and the ark. So God gave mankind 120 years to repent. 120 years. Most of us don't even get that long. But God gave mankind that long because he wanted as many people saved as possible back then, just like he does today. So during those 120 years, God told Noah, who was a man who lived back then in the patriarchal age, he gave Noah the command to build the ark. And so Noah, as far as we know, he was working on that for a long, long time, while he was also preaching and warning people about the dangers to come. Unfortunately, the only people who seemed to respond to this was his family. So we know that his wife and his kids and their spouses did respond to Noah's preaching, but it seems that, unfortunately, the rest of mankind did not. So quite specifically, there were only 8 people, so that's Noah, his wife, his kids and their spouses, so that's 8 people who were saved on the ark. The Chinese word for vote is a vessel with 8 mouths. That is too oddly specific, way too oddly specific to be a coincidence. And then next, when Noah and his family got into the ark, there was a great flood that flooded the entire earth, is what it says. So tall that even all the highest mountains, so think about like Mount Everest, K2, some of these just giant mountains that we have, the water level rose up above even that. So as you know, whenever there is a flood in an area like this, and we still see this today when there are floods in small areas, there are typically none of the animals are going to survive, unfortunately, from something like this. So total deluge is the $2 word for tonight that some scholars refer to it as. So let's look at the Chinese word for flood. The Chinese word for flood is the word for water plus total. And the word for total is 8 people together in unity is the word for total. And you add those 8 people together in unity with the word for water and you get the word for flood. And now we have reached the climax of our story tonight. This is what we talked about at the very beginning. We talked about the Tower of Babel. And so in the Tower of Babel, like I said before, these people are trying to create this tower up to heaven for they were hoping to impress God. Hopefully they are also trying to get closer to him, but the text seems to imply that they were merely just trying to impress him and trying to convince him like, hey, if we can do this, then you don't have to scatter us and we don't have to obey you and going out into the whole world. So what God did is he came down and confused their speech so that they couldn't understand each other. And then God scattered them abroad all over the whole earth. So the Chinese word for confusion is tongue plus mystery. Remember, the original Chinese characters were written in about 2500 BC, around the time that we believe that the Tower of Babel took place. So the Bible also talks about, when it says these are the records of Adam, and then it'll say, like, you know, and so on and so forth. So we know that these stories were passed down throughout the ages. And we know since Noah was a preacher, that God would have inspired him to know all this and to pass this down to his family as well. So the Chinese language was written around this exact same time. So at that time, before the Tower of Babel, every person on earth would have spoken the same language. Everyone would have had the same culture. Everyone would have all been together. And if you think about it, that really, really wasn't all that long ago. And so what I think the word West here symbolizes is that when the Chinese were scattered, we know that China is located to the east of Babylon. And so I believe that this idea of one man in the enclosure in the West is them remembering where that they came from. And so something that I really want to point out tonight is that the ancient Chinese language is a language that, according to this story, was actually created by God himself. God had to have created languages on that day to give to people. And I believe that this is one of them based on the evidence from my studies. So some things that I have learned from this is that, like many other children, when I was a young boy, I used to poke fun at how foreign the Chinese language sounded. I'm sure many of us in this room have also done that. But after doing this study and a little bit of maturing, this is something that I can no longer do, because based on this evidence, it seems to me that this is an ancient language that was created by God himself. And this lesson translates, pardon the pun there, but this lesson translates to other things as well. As I stated in my last sermon, God is the God of many nations. And in this lesson, we learn that God is the God of all of creation, of the animals as well. And yet, I am ashamed to admit that I can look at other people around the world, such as the Chinese and other people, and I can look at all the creation that God has made, including the animals. And sometimes I forget that these things all have a divine creator behind them. And I feel like if I could remember this whenever I saw these things and be reminded of God when I saw these things, just think about how much that would change my life and how much it could change your life as well to see our Creator in everything that we look at. And I would like to just say that I hope that, and I know that He has, but I hope that God has mercy on me for these things that I have done. And I know since I've asked for forgiveness, of course God will forgive me. But I just wanted to share that personal thought with you tonight. And so, speaking of mercy, we're going to be looking at the Chinese symbol tonight for righteousness. But first, let's look at John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, he saw Jesus coming to him. And this is John the Baptist speaking. And he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." In the patriarchal age, so for those of you who may not know what I'm talking about, there are three different ages in the Bible. We have the patriarchal age, which was leading up to the law of Moses. And then we have the Mosaic age, which is often what we call the old law. And then finally we have what we are living in today as the Christian age. So in the patriarchal age, even all the way back then, people would sacrifice animals to God for the forgiveness of their sins. And how terrible that must have been. I'm sure many of you are like me. I love animals. I've always related to that story that Nathan the prophet told King David when it talked about how that man had all those sheep and how he went and he killed that man's one sheep. And when Dave, remember the story, David responded in anger and he said, I'm going to kill that guy. Who is he? I understand David's reaction. I think me and David have a similar heart and a similar soft spot for those who are innocent, much like animals and like lambs are. But this is the way that God chose for people during this age to be forgiven. So we can see in the Chinese language up here, we have the word for me, which is a combination of the Chinese word for hand and knife. So in the patriarchal age, we know in the Mosaic age, you would take your sacrifices to the priest. But there in the patriarchal age, we see in Job that Job did some sacrifices for his family. So sometimes it appears that the father would do it. But we see the example of Abel, who we talked about earlier tonight. And Adam didn't do the sacrificing for Abel. Abel did it himself. And I don't know how Abel did it, but I assume it was something like a knife. So Abel would kill the sheep, and he made the sacrifice, and it pleased the Lord. And that brought righteousness to him. Now, something that is just beautiful, going back to this verse here. So think about the sheep here in this illustration. Who does John the Baptist say that Jesus is? He says that he is the Lamb of God who has come to take away the sin of the world. So this isn't me in the patriarchal age just killing a sheep for my sins and something that I would have to do multiple times. Jesus came and did this for us once. Jesus became the sheep who took away the sins of the world. And so Jesus plus me equals righteousness. In conclusion, what have we just seen in these 21 Chinese characters this evening? We see that these characters endorse things that we believe in, like monotheism, the spirit nature of God, how God is a trinity with the three mouths that was mentioned earlier, how God created man from dust, how God created woman to complete man, how man was in the Garden of Eden, how there were trees that you could eat from and not eat from. It has symbols for Satan. It talks about how the flood, specifically with eight people, and it even goes as far as to say that confusion is languages. And there's also a word for sacrifice, which shows that at this time in history, the Chinese would have been in the patriarchal age. The Chinese would have been doing sacrifices for God, just like many other nations were doing at the time. You have to keep in mind that the Israelites at this point did not exist. There was God, and then there was the people of the world. And just an interesting thought for you to think about this. When I think about how long the world's been around, you know, the majority of all of human history, the majority of it takes place in the book of Genesis. And there's very little that we know all those thousands of years. We know more about the past 100 years than we know all those thousands of years that happened. But what God has demonstrated for us in this record keeping is the most important thing that we need to know. And that is how the world began, how it began in love, and we can see the line and the promise that God has made to bring about a Messiah, and we see that throughout the Old Testament. And of course, later in Genesis, we do see that to the promise of Abraham, that he chose Abraham and his specific family. But for the lesson that we've done tonight, again, the Israelite people didn't exist yet. It was just God and people. So who is to say among us that Shang Di, who the Chinese called God for thousands of years, this one God that they had, a God that they worshipped 1,000 years before Moses ever even wrote Genesis down, who is to say that it is not possible that this is the God of the Bible? Well, the conclusion is ancient, but I don't believe it's any secret at this point. The worship of God, whether he's called Shang Di or El Shaddai or Jehovah or Yahweh, this is not a Western idea. This is not a Middle Eastern idea or an American idea. But this is universal for all mankind. It's true today. That's why we go out and we make disciples around the world. But it's also been true that we can see from the beginning that God has always been the God of mankind. And that concludes tonight's lesson. I hope that you learned something from it and that it strengthened your faith.